are blessed with all that goes on, and not that we need Christmas time to remind us of us being blessed because of Calvary and Bethlehem, or Bethlehem and then Calvary, but it certainly does bring it into focus for us. And I trust that you don't let this Christmas season pass without you getting closer to God than you were before it got here. Wouldn't that be a shame if we enjoyed all that Christmas has to offer, and we didn't take it as the opportunity for you and I to get closer to the Savior that we celebrate at Christmas time? Luke chapter 2, verse number 7, a familiar passage this evening, and I want to preach a message entitled Away in a Manger. Obviously, we've all heard the song, and the Bible says that they laid the Lord Jesus Christ, the Christ child, the babe, in a manger because there was no room for them, him in the inn. And as we look at Luke chapter 2, verse number 7, we'll preach it for just a little while, and then trust that the Lord would bless us as we think about where our Savior entered this world to show us how we ought to live and behave toward folks that are having difficulties. Verse number 7 of Luke 2. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. No doubt this couple, betrothed couple, engaged couple, if you will, the mother of the Lord Jesus and then what would become his stepfather, Joseph, no doubt they had cleaned this manger as good as they could. But still, this was just a crude hole there in the stall that was used for slobbering animals to be fed. And so I'm not going to try to impress you with any knowledge that I might have or not don't have, but I'm going to try to impress you with a delivery to think about how much that should mean to us, but just to think about the crude elements that we might not even want a dog to go and have a litter of puppies in. We understand that the Christ child came to this earth, and the Bible says that they laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And as we think about that song, Away in a Manger, that all of us know, I see this first, that he entered the world in the dirt. It's the divine in the human world, and he never sinned, not one time from when he was here to when he was leaving. He never sinned, but he lived amongst us, as I preached this morning, when Jesus was Emmanuel, is Emmanuel, God with us. And so he was entered into this world literally in the manger or in the dirt. And I'm going to go somewhere with this, and I trust that we'll get it down deep in us tonight, that you won't bring a case that's too low down. You won't bring a case that's too dirty. You won't bring a case that's too far gone for the Lord Jesus Christ to work on. Maybe somebody's going through a bitter divorce or maybe a custody battle, and you and I maybe act like Jesus won't want to help. Now, listen close to us, and may we never be this person, but our church brethren might not want to help. Because it gets a little sticky, it gets a little ugly, it gets a little dirty. Did you understand that if you help folks that aren't saved, that it gets a little dirty sometimes? It doesn't give us an excuse to act that way ourselves, but it does make you understand if you say so high and lofty, you can't help many folks that are down there in the dirt. It may be too sticky, too dirty, too complicated, too involved for some of our church brethren. But I remind you that our Savior entered this world through a barn door and entered into the stable. He entered in the world in the dirt. His mother was lied about undoubtedly and called a woman of ill repute because of the life that they said she had lived. His social standing was less than impressive. I read this week in my regular devotions about the woman that was taken in adultery. I don't have to tell you the story, but I will just to remind you of it briefly, that those men brought that woman there and said she was caught in the very act. And you know the story, Jesus stooped down and wrote some things in the dirt. And I, like you, would like to know what he wrote, and we don't know. But you know the end of the story as well. Jesus asked, "Where are thy accusers?" And he said, "Neither do I accuse thee. I go and sin no more." Now, he was Christ, and so never take the scripture and twist it to say, oh, Jesus didn't care about how she lived. Jesus cared about all that. He came to save the world from sin, of which he was involved in. But you understand that he reaches to the lowest one of us to save us out of our sins, because he came in a manger, he came in the dirt. And we understand that we've got to get back to welcoming people wherever they are, even when they don't have it all together. Can I tell you the type of person that you and I put myself in that position, that you and I like to see come through these doors? Ready-made Christians. Better than that, ready-made church members. Some of them were here this morning that were visiting that, wow, you say, well, that'd be a great couple, that'd be a great family, that'd be a great somebody to come. And certainly they would, and I'm sure that God is going to bless us with some folks like that. But can I tell you who else would be a great asset, a great addition? Is the person who isn't yet off of drugs. Who they are still, and I say it kindly, or I say it appropriately in a mixed audience, who still their moral setting is not where it ought to be in where they live and who they live with. You say, are you condoning that kind of lifestyle? Not in your life. But I'm also engaging all of us to try to get everybody in here, regardless of how they're living, because we've got to let them come to Christ and let Christ do the changing in their life. Do you understand that God didn't put us in the position to do all the changing? The Holy Spirit does quite a great job at that. Jesus came and he was born in a manger. He entered the world in the dirt. But not only did he enter the world in the dirt, you see that in verse number 7, but we see in verse number 8, as you continue on through the passage, not only did he enter the world in the dirt, but he also entered the world among common people. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock at night. Yes, Joseph and Mary were common people. But the shepherds were common with very little prestige. So much so that history would tell you that whenever the shepherds would rove about, they would come and there, of course, they would go as the foliage and the grass would allow, and they would move through. History tells you that if a group of shepherds would come through into town because they were grazing on the outskirts, that if things came up missing in people's houses or their land and they were stolen, it was a byword that it was probably the shepherds. They were the ones that had a poor reputation. They were the ones, the rabble. They were the ones that were looked down upon. Did it ever occur to us that the group that Jesus, that God chose to announce the birth, entering into this world of his son, was the people that nobody trusted? Wouldn't you have done it differently? Wouldn't you have come to Buffalo Ridge? It was almost around back then, not quite. Wouldn't you have come to a group of people that were prestigious? Wouldn't you have come to somebody who had some credibility? Do you understand the power and mighty awesomeness of God? He didn't need the credibility of the shepherds. God's got all the credibility he needs. He just wanted a mouthpiece. He didn't care about those things. And we understand that not only did he enter the world in the dirt, but he also entered the world into the common people. Mark chapter 12, verse number 37 says this, and the common people heard him, him being Jesus, heard him gladly. You know what this church needs? We need to come down a few notches. I'm thankful for everybody who's risen above your raising. As far as if you're talking about you've taken your financial status and you've gone above where you're at. But if we're talking about you think you're better than so-and-so or another person or where you came from, then I would submit to you that all of us need to come down a few notches. Do you understand that great people that have lots of money are not the ones that try to impress everybody else with how good they are? Sam Walton, all of you have been in one of his stores, right? They multiply. They put them everywhere. Dollar General may take them one of these days. I'm telling you that they don't get them in size, but they certainly get them in number, amount of them. Sam Walton, until he died, drove an old F-150 truck. They bought new in 79. I think he died in 91, possibly. And he said this about that old truck. He had dogs that he'd carry in the back. One of them called Old Roy. They've got dog food called that. But he said this about that old truck. He said, I just don't believe in a big showy lifestyle is appropriate. He said, why do I drive a pickup truck? He said, what am I supposed to haul my dogs in, a Rolls Royce? You know, it's amazing that, I know Preacher Lassie likes that part. Yeah, he used to do a lot of with those dogs as well. It's amazing. I've known some people that are really great in the world's eyes, and what I mean by that financially. But you know, a lot of those people who do have wherewithal, they have a substance and they really could buy and sell several of these buildings. That just because they have that financial standing doesn't mean they're unapproachable. Many of those people are. Now, some of them are. Their nose is high in the air and you can't get around them. But I've had the privilege of meeting some people, and they do not feel the need to put anybody else down because God has raised them up. And you know the ones that I notice that are like that? When they realize the blessings come from Almighty God. They don't penalize somebody else for what they didn't have any say in doing anyways. They realize that God gives to some and He blesses them in other ways than someone else. When you and I realize that it's all God's anyways, we're a lot less likely to look down our long nose at somebody. I see that the Lord Jesus Christ entered the world in the dirt. Can I tell you that you'll never bring a problem that's too twisted and too low down for Him to help you through if you really come to Him? If He came and entered this world in a manger where slobbering animals got their straw or hay, why would you think that any problem that you've got is too low for Him to help you through? Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. He entered this world in the dirt. And then verse number 8 says He entered this world among common people. But then look on down if you would. In verse number 10, the angel said unto them, fear not. Verse 11, I see not only did He enter the world among common people, but then He also entered the world to save people. Look at verse number 11 if you would. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, one of my favorite words, a Savior. A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Why would you need a Savior? Because you need to be saved. Why should I get excited about a Savior coming from heaven's glory to this earth in the dirt amongst common people? Why would I get excited about that? Because I needed one. It doesn't matter what side of the tracks you grew up on. Doesn't matter whether your family was on government assistance or in the highest level of housing in the area. You and I needed a Savior. And my friend, I don't care what your bank account looks like. I hope that you have many, many zeros after those numbers that are in your bank account. But if you have many, many zeros, but there's not a number on the left of those zeros, and that's how much you've got, Jesus came into this world to save you. Us church people, us humans, we're the only ones that care about how much money somebody's got. They pave the streets where our Savior has prepared a place for us. They pave the streets with gold up there. And for you to try to impress him or me or one another with the fact that your bank account has an extra 100,000 or an extra million or this, to think about how insignificant that is to the God who created the world. I see that not only did He come amongst common people, but He came to this world to save people. Never confuse the fact that He came in a lowly manger amongst the dirt of this world. Never confuse the fact that He did that with the truth that He never lowered His deity one bit. He did come in the dirt of the world, but He remained that 100% God. Never sinning one time. That's our Savior. And the greatness and our Savior was never diminished because of His beginnings, as far as His earthly beginnings, or His surroundings as He grew, or the group of people who He chose to hang around and minister to. Would you minister to the people that Jesus did? Would you let your reputation take the hit that Jesus let His reputation take the hit on? I dare say we probably wouldn't. But our Savior did. Because He came, the Bible says, to seek and to save that which was lost. I love Christmas. I told you this morning, I love family. I love the vacations that you get to take. I hope that you get to spend some time with loved ones. I love the presents. I love the trips that come along with that. I love the Christmas trees. I love the songs. I love the nostalgia. I love the Christmas carols and the food. I love all of that. But let's never forget that the true meaning of Christmas is about the fact that, as verse number 11 said, there's a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. For unto you is born this day, a particular day, when Jesus came to save the world from sin. From verse number 11 to a Savior down to verse number 14, as you work your way down through the rest of the passage, we understand that the Savior comes first in verse number 11. And what does it produce in verse number 14? It produces peace. And I would submit to you tonight that He provides peace to every person who puts their faith in Him. You say, John, this world is not very peaceful, and it's not. You say there's not a lot of goodwill toward men, and there may not be. But I can tell you who can be at 100% peace tonight. That's you, the child of God, who knows that your sins are forgiven, cast as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered against you anymore. My friend, the world may not have peace, but you, as a blood-bought believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, can be at total peace tonight. And you can say, as the songwriter did, peace on earth. And as the Scripture says, you, my friend, and I can have peace. All I want to do tonight is just tell you how good the Lord Jesus Christ is. And I pray that you don't go through Christmas season. I don't care if you're 7 or 70 or beyond or below. I pray you don't go through this Christmas season without taking some time to meditate on how good our Savior is. I don't have anything worth saying tonight except what's in this book. And the most important thing I can say tonight is that you and I ought to spend time thinking about, praising, and loving on our Savior who loved on us. If He was willing to enter the mess of the manger as He was, then why wouldn't He enter into your problem tonight? Do you think that somehow your problem is beneath the Lord Jesus Christ? He proved by His very entrance into this world that there was not a problem so low that He couldn't solve. He didn't come in the splendor of a royal home like He should have. Like we would think He should have. He came in the mess of a manger. And I believe maybe one reason why He did was just to remind you and remind me that there's no mess that you've gotten your life into that He won't also enter into. He entered into it 2,000 years ago, into that mess of a manger, when if everybody in this room, you would have given your whole house to a young lady like Mary who was going to bear the Christ child. But instead, He came in the mess of a manger. And if I could leave you with one thought tonight, if He would come into that mess of a manger, why would He not come into the mess of your life and my life and help me through whatever is going on? You say, Brother John, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've got. You don't know what problems are facing me. I doubt there very seriously that they were more than an unwed mother ready to give birth with no wherewithal whatsoever to make it happen physically or financially. I doubt you're any lower than that she was that night. Jesus came in the mess of a manger, and I believe that He will enter and solve whatever mess of a problem you've got tonight. Come unto me, He said, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Away in a manger. We romanticize that. We bring glorious connotations to that. But let's get real, folks. All it was just a place for slobbering, filthy barn animals. And that's what our Savior entered this world into for you and for me. If nothing else, to teach you and I that whatever problem we've got, He was able to solve that. He's able to solve anything. He's able to come into your problem and bless you. Father, be with us now. Away in a manger, no crib for a bed. Lord, I pray that we would do some heavy meditating on the thoughts this evening. Lord, I'm afraid there are people that are going through divorce and custody battles and fights with families that should be here in church, but because of our highfalutin attitude sometimes, we repel people when we should be pulling them in. Lord, I pray, if nothing else, the good folk of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, we get an old-fashioned dose of this thought, and that thought is that Jesus can solve whatever problem is represented in the people in our area. If Jesus came into the mess of a manger, I tell you one more time, what makes you think He won't come into the mess that you've made of your life? You say, Brother John, it's so bad. My friend, there's nothing that He can't solve. You bring your problems to Him. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you need to give your life to Him and turn to Him in salvation. And some of you were saved, but you've still made a mess of your life and you're embarrassed, ashamed to come and tell Christ what you've done. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, my friend, Jesus is more lovely than I can describe tonight. I don't have the voice to tell you. I don't have the intellect to convey it to you. I don't have the mental capacity to share with you how lovely our Lord is. Oh, my Lord, thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, thank you. Thank you for loving us so much that you entered this sin-cursed, wicked world knowing that the end would be the cross, yet you did it anyway. And my friend, let's not get caught up into thinking that you know a friend or you know somebody that it's going to be a challenge for the Lord. Oh, there's no challenge for Him. Father, bless us now is our prayer. May we look to You. Lord, may we bring others to You. And may we continually seek Thee in Jesus' name. Would you stand together with us as the ladies play something through? And I want to invite you. I wish I had a tongue that could tell how good Jesus is. Oh, my. I wish I had the intellect to be able to formulate some phrases that could somehow do justice to our Savior. I wish I had the presence to be able to convey to you as a teenager how much the Lord loves you and how much that babe in the manger is passionate about helping you and blessing you, but I don't have the ability. Oh, Lord, I pray that You would help us dwell on You tonight. Lord, You came into this world in a mess. Not of Your own doing, but You came into a mess. And Lord, I believe You'll enter into any situation that we invite You into and fix the problems that we have as well. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, would you step out and come? Not sure you're on your way to heaven, would you step out and make your way down to the pulpit that I preach from? Me or somebody, we'd take a Bible and show you how you can be sure heaven's your home. Don't leave this place without knowing the Lord as your Savior. How about it, Christian? Have we been looking down our nose at certain people and thinking that, well, they don't have it all together? My friend, none of us have it all together. If we're waiting on a person to get it all together, we're never going to find them. May we remember He's the problem solver. He's our Savior. Thank you for this time to be in your house. Lord, what a joy. Just to think for a few moments about how blessed we are to have You as our Savior. Lord, I pray if there's one that is unsure of their salvation, not sure that they're saved, Lord, I pray they would make sure before they pillow their head tonight. It's too sweet. Heaven is too sweet and hell is too real to risk it. And our Savior, You're so precious to us. I pray if there's one that's unsaved, they'd get saved tonight. Then I pray if there's a Christian in here, because of the mess that they've made of their life, they're afraid to come to You and just, Lord, ask Your help. Lord, would You draw them close? Would You make the Scriptures very real to them? And would You draw them in? I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless.